This hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian Country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikag and Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena. Let's start the show with the news with Oglema.
Buju, everyone, Miigwech, and thank you for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. My name is Oglema Ganu Ikwe. Today is Saturday, December 12th, 2020, and I'm here with some news and updates from Turtle Island this week. In local news in our Twin Cities, Minnesota area, we have some follow-up on the charges against those who toppled the Christopher Columbus statue this past summer. Mike Forsha led a group of more than 100 protesters on the state capitol grounds on June 10th. Protesters tied two ropes around the neck of the bronze statue of Columbus and pulled it to the ground. The only person who's been charged with this is Mike Forsha, a self-identified organizer with the American Indian Movement. He will serve 100 hours of community service and will avoid trial under a deal he struck with prosecutors. Per local station Fox 9 News, under the terms of the deal, Forsha will write a letter acknowledging the damage the Columbus statue toppling caused and must remain law-abiding. Forsha thanked his lawyers and the judge after the Zoom hearing and said he looks forward to the community service. In news of the Line 3 pipeline in central and northern Minnesota, direct action events have begun to stop the Canadian tar sand pipeline from further damaging Minnesota. In Palisade, the pipeline construction has been halted several times this past week by activists and water protectors. A duo of allies locked themselves to a truck carrying pipe to the construction site on Thursday. In a video produced by GNU Collective, the protectors identified themselves by the name of Charge and Link. Charge identifies as an Indigenous person of a different land and is there as part of their intersectionality with the Free Palestine Movement. Link identified as Black or African American, and as an ally, he's there in solidarity because Native people showed up during the George Floyd uprising in the Twin Cities earlier this year. Link says it's time to take a stand and to help other people stand up to their oppressors in solidarity. Both were later arrested and released on bail. Anishinaabe Water Protector Don Goodwin of the White Earth Reservation held a sit-in in the path of a pipeline construction crew last Friday. Goodwin is a member and organizer with RISE Coalition. RISE stands for Resilient Indigenous Sisters Engaging Coalition. Don Goodwin said that treaties are the supreme law of the land. Two other activists have been living suspended in trees above the construction zone for Line 3 for over a week. They are directly in the destruction path on the Line 3 easement on Minnesota public land. Per NPR, the easement consists of land running east to west, which has been stripped of its trees and brush, save for the stands where the two activists are hanging. Water protectors are also camped across from the easement from many different environmental, indigenous, and activist groups throughout the state. Groups that are currently involved in working to stop the Line 3 pipeline are listed as follows. This is by no means a complete list, and more are participating and likely to join the fight as the construction continues. If you'd like more information or are looking to get involved with the Line 3 fight, you may contact MN350, Bemidji350, the Indigenous Environmental Network, Sierra Club North Star Chapter, Minnesota Interfaith Power and Light, Rise Coalition, Honor the Earth, the 1855 Treaty Authority, the Nabi Center, the GNU Collective, and the Youth Climate Interveners. In lighter news of our neighbors in Canada to the north, the native filmmaker A.W. Hopkins will showcase his feature-length film Indian Road Trip this coming week. Hopkins previously worked for CTV and traveled all over the country producing Indigenous current event stories. He is originally from the Nakota Reservation in Canada. His 10-minute comedy short, The Indian Road Trip, had initially debuted at the Whistler Film Festival in 2015. The film's storyline follows a pair of Indigenous guys who leave the reserve, or reservation as we know it in the U.S., and go on the road trip of a lifetime. Hopkins told Vancouver Magazine that he had just spent about 10 years doing Indigenous social justice work, covering AIDS, HIV, fetal alcohol syndrome, and death in custody. He said he wanted to do something that showed a different side of Indigenous people, something that is humorous and captures people in an authentic way. The film is several years in the making. His short film, by the same title, debuted in the Whistler's Film Festival's Indigenous Filmmaker Fellowship in 2015. After that, he did land the money to extend it into a full-length film and then shot his feature in the summer of 2017. However, after shooting the full film, their money for post-production fell through. They had all the footage and no means to put it together. Finally, after laying dormant for some time, Indian Road Trip was picked up by the Aboriginal People's Television Network, or APTN. Indian Road Trip's full-length feature world premiere is hosted again by the Whistler Film Festival. Indian Road Trip celebrates Indigenous humor and joy. Per his interview with Vancouver Magazine, Hopkins said that humor is missing in a lot of fiction, in a lot of documentary, and a lot of reporting on Indigenous people. The comedy of the film is specifically for the film's Indigenous audience. He said he's really hoping that Indigenous people get it and that they say, hey, that's what it's like. You can watch Indian Road Trip at the virtual Whistler Film Festival on Tuesday, December 15th. In other artistic news coming out of Canada, an Alberta-based artist has helped IKEA design its first ever Indigenous showroom. Lance Cardinal is a member of the Big Stone Cree Nation in northern Alberta and partnered with IKEA to design the space. The room features IKEA furniture, but also cultural items like regalia, trapping supplies, and personal items like family photos and home movies from an actual Alberta family from the Samson Cree Nation and Montana First Nation. Cardinal told Global Canada News that he hopes this encourages people to understand Indigenous culture a little better and to see them in a more positive light. In political news, Representative Cherise Davids of Kansas has been elected as vice chair of the new Democratic coalition. Davids was one of the first American Indian women elected to the House of Representatives. Davids won re-elections this year to represent Kansas's 3rd congressional district on November 3rd with 53.4% of the vote. The new Democratic Coalition, or NDC, is made up of over 90 House Democrats who are committed to pro-economic growth, pro-innovation, and fiscally responsible policies, according to Native News Online. In a statement about her election, David said, "It was an honor to be a part of the new Democratic coalition during my first term, and I'm looking forward to helping our coalition build on the progress we've made as vice chair. Our coalition represents an important voice in our caucus, and we will play an even greater role in guiding our national agenda in the next Congress. We're faced with enormous challenges right now, and it will take all of us working together to address these crises and to deliver progress for people of this country." A vaccine against COVID-19 has been approved in Great Britain, Canada, and the U.S. for emergency use against the ongoing pandemic. Those who work in direct care and who are in long-term facilities are expected to get the vaccine first. Thousands of people throughout the country have also volunteered to be among those in the first round of vaccinations. Both versions of the vaccine boast nearly 95% effectiveness. However, this does not mean the fight against COVID-19 is over. Please remember to wear your mask, wash your hands, and stay home. As always, Miigwech, and thank you for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This is Ogama Gnu Ekwe, and back to you, Wakanjahade.
Pini Gigi Ogama for the news. We'll be right back. Up next, Winona LaDuke.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, Strong Hearts Native Helpline is a free, confidential, and anonymous domestic, dating, and sexual violence helpline available at 1-844-762-8483 or by using the Chat Now icon at strongheartshelpline.org. Advocates offer daily support and referrals for resources, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time.
This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahade. My taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Each week, we touch base with Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and these weeks are bleak, and we need updates, and we are so honored to have you, Winona.
No, happy to be here. Happy to be able to share with it what's going on with Walt's pipeline, how it's unrolling in the north. So, Walt Enbridge and Walt's pipeline. Yeah, so I'm up here on the Mississippi River, and if y'all want to come visit, if you just take the Great River Road, isn't that an epic-sounding thing?
Yeah.
The Great River Road until the pipeline project, you can see. You can't miss it. You know, there's all kind of pipeline workers and signs and mm-hmm. hateful things, you know, tearing up our North Country. And we're here, up at the Water Protective Welcome Center.
Yeah.
And watching what's going on. And you know, some people got arrested this week.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, a couple of brave water protectors were arrested over in south of Hill City at a site. And, you know, I think there was a number of people up there, like 30, 40 people with signs, you know, all ages. And they were threatened with mace and other non-lethal dispersal. And right. I think that, you know, it's really like, so you got people trying to protect the water, and then you got people who are getting, you know, and then they're getting charged. And so we had a couple water protectors arrested up there, a couple arrested a couple days ago for locking down on equipment. And I just want to say how, you know, these people are super courageous when they are locking down on equipment. And, you know, it's like a last ditch, you know, like we got to stop this. They're putting our bodies on the line. And so we really need support for that. And more people are coming up here today.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to welcome them. And yesterday, Louise Erdrich and her daughter Gieses came up and blessed us with visiting some interviewing people up here. And she left some of a library for people, but you know, people are coming in and we appreciate the boost to our morale. So do come, you know, and do send some stuff. I mean, I know that we were talking about that, but, you know, don't send us bottled water, no bottled water, no lot of plastic stuff.
Right.
You know, I mean, we could use a roaster. We could use some bulk stuff like some chai tea, some hot chocolate. But what we also need is people,
right.
You know? And so if you can come out, you know, you could even stay in your car and just look at the Enbridge disaster that is unfolding. You can go look, you know, they're moving pipes. They have begun drilling underneath the Willow River. They've done a full-on assault of the rivers of the heartland here, you know, which is what they're doing. They're going like just directly for the heartland. And then, so they are unrolling a lot of people in here. And, you know, I just shake my head in sadness. And then I stand as others have, you know, against them because, you know, what a mess Walt is making of our state. With this, you know, and in the end, what do you get? 23 jobs. All this fighting, all this brutality, all this destruction, 23 jobs. And, you know, as we've said a number of times, and you saw that, these pipeliners, these union workers are not from Minnesota. They're from Texas.
Right.
You know, Utah, places that don't have pipeline projects. And it's just, they are ruthless. They are ruthless. And Enbridge is unrolling this fury that is totally misrepresented, this gift to Minnesota. And it's such a burden.
Yeah, totally misrepresentative. You know, it was all about jobs and jobs and jobs, and we got 23 jobs, and that's ridiculous. Say, you're going to have a little gathering, and we're going to make it up there. Native Roots Radio is going to make it up there on Sunday. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Some state representatives are coming up on Sunday. State legislators are coming up on Sunday to, see and some media. And, you know, so I'm going to be doing some tours. We want people to see, you know, where things are, you know, so they can see how much of the north has been taken up by Enbridge and understand this. The Welcome Water Protector site has some good maps, you know, that show things, but we're going to be pleased to host some state representatives, you know, different elected officials on Sunday and more, you know, church people. And then on Monday, we're actually calling for people to come up and bear witness because we think that some really, you know, bad, we think we want to stand with our water on Monday. So if you can come on Monday, do that. Mm-hmm. And we're really grateful to be able to host people, you know, coming up. Really, really grateful on that.
Can you talk a little bit about the artists? What's happening with artists that are coming up there and supporting No Line 3?
Yeah, we're doing a lot of work, you know. I mean, part of this is kind of like I don't know, taking the mask off. We can't take the mask off now. But my point is like saying, these are beautiful people. You know, there's been this intent to like demonize water protectors, which is the most ridiculous thing. If you're not a water protector, you're probably not going to be alive, you know. And so we have artists that have come up and done some signage and you know, we are putting up our teepee that's been up since 2014 in these battles. We're putting it up here. Mm-hmm. And then there's more painting and more art going on. And I believe some puppets are coming, you know, Heart of the Beast I heard is coming up here. And so, cool. You know, we're encouraging this love of life here, you know, and then we're also encouraging people to support the growth of these other, you know, water protector gatherings up by Bagley. You know, there's 300 miles of pipe that has not been put in, you know, come here. But then if you are from some other place or you have relatives that are from Bacchus area, Pine City, yeah. Pine River area, you need to go up there and be with your relatives. And you need to go up there and see what a mess Enbridge is making in Bacchus, you know, what they're doing there. So we encourage people to go other locations, look at our site, and then help organize some, you know, educational activities there, you know.
Right.
So we're encouraging people to come here, but we're also encouraging people, you know, Don Goodwin from Rise Coalition, they're starting more work up in the western, you know, up towards Red Lake. And so let's support all those people too.
Well, I know when we talked a little bit about the artists, it's like the theme is like celebrating life, and that's what we're trying to do and get the message out that this is about life.
Yeah. Yeah. This is about life, and we're, you know, we want people to be, you know, to be there. I mean, here I am making a big pot of swamp tea, or they call it swamp tea, Labrador tea. And, you know, I think about it, and the way they treat wetlands is like wetlands are nothing.
Right.
You know, wetlands are not, you know, they're not productive cropland. That's like the paradigm of, you know, pastoral colonialism, if I might call it that. And here you got, yeah, I have medicine. This is a good medicine for respiratory.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making that right here, right next to where Enbridge want to put a pipe, you know? And so come celebrate that life, the life and biodiversity that is up here, and celebrate it with your art and your music, you know?
Yeah. I have a quick question. Just Friday, the stock market's come out now they're going to be selling water as a commodity, like gold and silver. It's the most ridiculous and hateful thing I've seen in a long time. Did you hear about that or?
No, but I remember Philip Deere when I was a young woman, about 17, I sat with Philip Deere and he was a great Muskogee leader. He said, one day water be more cost more than oil.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't believe him. I said, that don't make so sense to me, but we all know that's true. You know, buy yourself a bottle of, go get yourself a bottle of that, Fiji water, right. You know, for $7 a quart. And right. There you go. Where there is money, someone's going to try to make some money. And that's, you know, wrong. That's wrong. What we need to do is make life, not money.
Absolutely.
Money is not life.
That's right. So
I mean, and you know, Enbridge's whole thing is life takes energy. That's their thing. Life takes water, Enbridge.
That's right. I know. Well, I know you're busy, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again up there Sunday. And
see you tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Pini Gigi for being on and all you do. And again, honortheearth.org to find out more information and how
and
we
can. Stopline3.org.
And stop.
You know, we're updating both of them, you know, and we're going to have more news stuff because Robert's going to help us
get out
a daily update on who got charged, what their charges were. You know, people got bailed out, Aiken County, but, you know, we expect that these county jails may be taxed of people, you know, and not prepared for a pandemic and not prepared for water protectors. That's what I'd say about the North. So let's do it.
Let's do it. Peeny Gigi, thank you so much.
Mascot, come north.
Peeny Gigi, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you later. That was Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We're so proud and happy to have House Representative, former House Representative Mary Kunish, now State Senator. Let's take a listen to what she has to say this week.
How matake yape. It is State Representative Mary Kunish, Senate-elect Kunish. And it's December 11th, 2020. Another beautiful day. Crisp, wintry day with no snow yet, though. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time getting ready for the holidays if there's not snow on the ground. What is going on at the state legislature? Well, starting Monday, we will have our last special session at the state legislature for the year 2020. We're hoping to pass a pretty comprehensive COVID response bill that will work to help our frontline workers find ways to help with housing, all sorts of really great things. So I hope that you'll be able to check in with us over the week to see how the work is going for our special session. And then the session 2021 begins on January 5th. So lots of things that will be happening this next year. Just to sort of recap the election, the House of Representatives kept the majority for the Democrats, and the Senate kept the majority for the Republicans. And then, of course, we have a Democrat, a DFL governor and lieutenant governor. And so we have a split legislature, which oftentimes makes it very difficult to pass good legislation. But hopefully with the recovery for COVID-19, we'll be able to come together and do some really good legislation for Minnesota. There's so many areas that need to be addressed. But one of the good things that happened this week is that the COVID-19 vaccine is ready to be distributed. And we want to make sure that Minnesota is ready to receive these vaccines, because some of the vaccine has to be kept at like sub-zero temperature. And so it has to be transported correctly. It has to be stored correctly. And of course, it has to be sent out to all of the sites the right way, and then ready for us to use. And so Minnesota is ready to receive that vaccine and distribute it very efficiently and effectively, safely, and most importantly, equitably. So today we heard from the governor a plan to distribute that vaccine, and it kind of falls under three different principles: immunize for impact, and that means that we're going to look at where we can maximize the most immediate health benefits to reduce death and minimize the harm that's created by the COVID-19. And we're going to start with the most susceptible to serious complications and those who care for them. So our elderly and our frontline workers and our healthcare workers. And then we want to make sure that there is an equitable distribution and access to the vaccine. So we want to look for ways so that there are no procedural or structural issues that will impact access to the vaccine among any particular groups or populations. And so we want Minnesotans in every corner of our state and every community to know that they can trust the process, the safety of it, and the effectiveness of the vaccine. And then, of course, there's always transparency. We want to share any information that we receive as quickly as possible with Minnesotans. So the process for distributing the vaccine is a little complex, and it really does come down as a mandate from the federal government. So to get a vaccine in Minnesota, the federal government is going to regulate the vaccine development and improve those that are safe and effective. So Minnesota can't come up with their own version. They're going to work with vaccine manufacturers like Pfizer and Moderna to procure those vaccines. And then they're going to tell us, our states, each state, how much vaccine that they actually get and when they're going to get it. And then we're going to have to put together a committee of experts that help prioritize just who gets the vaccine in each phase, and then get it out to our members in Minnesota. So then Minnesota will have to receive those vaccines, and they'll work with the hospitals and the clinics and pharmacies. Tribal health is right up there at the top, and local public health to get that vaccine out to Minnesota. So there's some factors outside of our control that are going to dictate that timing, but we know that the vaccine is coming. That we know for sure. And production and distribution is going to ramp up over time. But when it's when the vaccine is finally shipped to Minnesota, we are ready to distribute it. They're already talking about it. There's a plan. They aren't starting from scratch. And over the next 13 weeks, we expect that 2.1 million doses of influenza vaccine will have been distributed in Minnesota. And so they will distribute that vaccine through regional hub and spoke approach. And so think of a wheel with the center and then all the spokes coming out. And there are 25 total hub sites that are set up to directly receive those vaccine deliveries through a distribution chain. And then from there, the vaccine is going to be distributed further to smaller hospitals or clinics, and they're calling those the spokes. And then the providers will administer it, and they're going to start by protecting life and health of the most susceptible to serious complications and those who care for them. And I found it very interesting, our Republican counterparts who refused to wear a mask, who poo-pooed the whole pandemic, who minimized the effects of and the deaths that are attributed to the pandemic, who continue to hold big gatherings, and they all broke out with COVID. Their House leader, Kurt Dowd, and the Senate leader, Paul Gazelka, suggested that we legislators be at the top list of the vaccines so that we can safely legislate in person. And I found that very interesting. All right, what else is going on? I don't know if you've heard about Minnesota Republican lawmakers who are calling on the Supreme Court to overturn the presidential election. And it's always interesting to see what next step the Republicans will be doing to discount the election outcome. And if you heard about it, there is a lawsuit brought forward by Texas's attorney general, and that lawsuit is intended to discount the results of the voting outcome for presidential outcome in Pennsylvania and Michigan, Wisconsin and Georgia. And they are hoping to prevent President-elect Joe Biden from reaching that inauguration day. So they're putting roadblocks in the way. And Texas and a request for the Supreme Court to bar those four states from certifying their results before they're due in on Monday is just like absolutely ridiculous. It's already too late to begin with. But just yesterday, interesting enough, 15 Minnesota Republican legislators, including Mary Kiffmeyer and Rich Dram and Mike Goggin and others, signed a letter addressed to PACs, and he's the guy in Texas who's doing the lawsuit, asking him to add Minnesota to that lawsuit. And so basically what they're doing is they're asking the courts to overturn the will of 1.7 Minnesota voters who voted for Joe Biden to be the next president. And they're also objecting to changes that were made to Minnesota's election rules that are that they themselves, the Minnesota Republican Party, signed off on. So it just does not make any sense at all. And including those legislators who signed on to it, Congressman Pete Stauber and Jim Hagedorn and Tom Emmer also signed on to the amicus curiae brief, which claims that millions of constituents share the same concern as their representatives. But we know that Joe Biden won Minnesota by a wide margin, and it's just an effort to show that the GOP are kind of sore losers who aren't afraid to turn their back on the sinking ship of the Trump presidency. And it certainly shows their disrespect for Minnesota and our American people to begin with. Just to remind you also that open enrollment for Minsure has been going on. You are still able to enroll now through December 22nd. So sign up and get covered. Open enrollment is that time of year each year when you can sign up for health insurance if you don't already have coverage through your job. So if you are one of the thousands and thousands of people that lost your job, Medicare, Medicaid, TRICARE, and there are other sort of health coverage that's available. Minnesota is offering open enrollment for health insurance through Minsure.org. That's MNSURE.org. And that means that individuals have to sign up between now and December 22nd for coverage starting on January 1st, 2021. So get out there, get yourself ready for your inoculation, get yourself covered by health insurance, and make sure that you continue to take care of each other, wear your mask, wash your hands, stay apart from each other, and take care of your loved ones. That's all I've got for you today. Take care. Wopula Tonka.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. My taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. But what I want to do now is I want to grab Terry Lamb, and he can really, really give us some information about pipelines. And we don't know much about pipelines. And Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
Right on. Can you introduce yourself, Terry? You're Terry Lamb. And then what's your experience with pipelines? And welcome to Pilot's Progressive Party.
Well, thank you. I guess I can just give you my background. Some people know, but not a lot, probably not most of them, that I was a pipeliner for almost 5 years back in the late 70s into the mid 80s. And I was on a traveling crew where I was anywhere from the Canadian border down to the Mexican border. Like I tell people, any place west of the Mississippi that there was oil, I was there. And where you were talking about oil spills, I can give you some insight on that. My first job in the oil fields was a oil spill in the North Platte River, just north of Douglas, Wyoming. And we worked on that for weeks to clean that up. And, of course, that was back in the 80s where they have so-called better technology now. But I'll tell you right now, you could probably go back there and look, and nothing still grows on the banks of that river. And there's places like in Wyoming especially that their stuff is not going to grow for hundreds of years because of spills of pipelines breaking. because I worked on spills, you know, where lines broke and things like that, it's just nothing's going to grow because you can, once them things break, you are not going to clean all of that oil out of the earth, no matter what you do or no matter what they say. I don't care what the technology is today. You're not going to get it all out of the ground.
So, Terry, go ahead.
It's just not going to happen. It's not feasible.
So, Terry, I know, like, up by Winona, where Winona is, and she has, was it Paradise up there? All those pipes have been out there for around 7 years, and they keep on flipping them over and painting them over again. That's got to make these pipes less workable when they've been out in the elements like that for six, seven years.
Oh, yeah, it'll degrade in the sunlight. That stuff is not meant to sit in the sunlight like that.
Yeah,
it'll start cracking.
So that's kind of what happened in Standing Rock, wasn't it? Where we've had a lot of pipelines leaking, and those pipes were waiting around in Standing Rock too before they finally gave the okay to put those in the ground. And now we have leaky pipes in the Standing Rock pipeline, the No Dapple.
Exactly. And a lot of times, them things will leak. They don't. Very rarely do they leak on the welds because a lot of people, I don't know if they know or not, but they X-ray. When they sign their contracts to put them pipelines in, it states right in the contracts how much of them welds have to be X-rayed. It could be anywhere from 10% up to 100%, and them X-rays have to be perfect. And if they're not, they have to cut the weld out and replace it. Them things will usually leak somewhere way away from the weld because maybe there was a rock somehow got into the ditch when they buried the pipe, and it got up against that pipe, and that pipe will move because of that oil moving and just the cold and heat and everything over the course of the year. It moves a little bit, and just a tiny little rock will create a spot on that and take the coating off it and everything and eventually make a weak spot, and it will break. Guaranteed it will break. And that's where you're going to get your leak. And that oil is not always going to come up right where that leak is. That oil may show up on the surface a mile away. It may travel down that pipe and pop up, like I said, a mile away.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Could you explain a little bit more about the wells? I don't understand the wells.
Well, for one thing, the welds, they don't just do one pass with the welder on them. There can be up to maybe, say, even 5-6 passes of the welds on each one of them joints of pipe, depending on the thickness of pipe.
Okay. I thought you were saying wells, not welds.
Oh,
okay.
I'm sorry. That's just my...
No, that's okay.
I thought Wendy had
that's
the
my accent.
Accent,
I guess.
Okay. Thank you, though. Thank you.
Yeah.
The weld, where the weld is. Wow.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's good. Let's jump back into this, Terry. We got to take a quick commercial break, but I got a couple of questions. I'm in a union, and I have a couple questions for you about union and union jobs. So if you can hold on, we'll be right back. This is Pilot's Progressive Party on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm here with Wendy Pilot. Welcome back to Pilot's Progressive Party. Hey, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we have Terry Lamb on here, and he's really schooling us on a lot of really interesting information about pipelines. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what our theme's been since Governor Walz gave the okay to start Line 3 up in Minnesota, which has really, really disappointed us. But Terry, welcome back. And wow, we're really mesmerized with your information here. Welcome back, Terry.
All right. Well,
hey.
Glad to be here.
Cool. Just making sure you're there. Sorry. So I have a quick question. I'm a union person.
Sure.
And we talk about union jobs, and one of the things that I've noticed, just my short trips up north where these pipelines are being put in is that I don't see very many Minnesota license plates. What's your thoughts about that? And what is the normal regime of a pipe fitter?
Well, the thing is, you know, they keep saying with Line 3 that it's going to be all these, you know, local jobs and everything. You're not going to see very few Minnesota plates working on Line 3, and it's a very simple reason because, yes, this is all going to be a union job. It's going to be union laborers, you know, it's going to be union pipe fitters, all that. But people don't seem to understand the local pipeliners union, their local office is out of the Dakotas. That encompasses all of both Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa. That local, like I say, encompasses that whole area. Well, okay, think of it this way. Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Iowa is not oil country. There's not any pipeliners living here. And if there is a few pipeliners living here, there's no local work for them. They go outside of this area to work. They go into the Dakotas. They may go to Oklahoma. They may go to Texas or whatever. Well, when they go to Oklahoma and Texas to work, they have to work out of one of the locals down there. So they transfer their card down to a local down there to, in order to work, because they cannot work with their local card from here up there. So when they have work up here, all they're doing is taking these guys from Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, all these other various states with massive oil reserves. Them guys are coming up here, transferring their union card out of their local into the local up here, and they're working on our pipelines, like Line 3, like DAPL. The very same guys that worked on DAPL are working on Line 3. I was told that 2 years ago by the president of the local up here that it was going to be the same guys that worked on DAPL are going to work on Line 3, and it was going to be the same company.
Wow. Wow.
They had already made a verbal agreement with Enbridge.
Yeah, that's stunning. You know, and again, I was up there, and you kind of mentioned the states that I saw these big white trucks, or different color trucks, but these big trucks with different license plates on. And can you explain to me the stickers on the helmets? Because I was up there today in Fond du Lac, and there was a warrior up there that was calling them out because they have to have a certain sticker on their helmet that they've gone through training with missing and murdered Indigenous women, and a lot of people didn't. And then the police came, and it got really ugly, and the police didn't really understand. But what do those stickers mean on their helmets?
It all depends upon which ones they were. A lot of times it could be just the companies they worked for.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be ones that, yeah, they go through these token trainings just to satisfy the contracts that state they have to have certain trainings for, like, say, safety trainings, chemical trainings, that type of thing. And they give them these token little stickers and stuff, and they stick them on their hard hats.
Wow. Yeah.
That's basically what that is.
Yeah, it's really, you know, I think a lot of things, I think we really need to really voice this out and get this out, because I'm really, really concerned, not only with these workers from all over, but for these workers coming into our community. We talk a lot about the murdered, missing Indigenous women on our shows. And what is your feeling about that, or your knowledge about that?
Well, for one thing, like I've said, you know, people need to understand, like, when these guys, especially in Minnesota, I would be very surprised if Enbridge has an actual man camp in northern Minnesota, because people are kind of misunderstanding what a real man camp actually is.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the oil fields, I did work in man camps. Man camps sometimes can be up to thousands of guys in man camps at one time. Because people got to remember, Minnesota, especially northern Minnesota, we have all these thousands of, like, resorts and things like that, that these guys will be staying in, because these companies, what they will do is they pay them what's called subpay. It's short for subsistence pay. They pay him so much each day. It could be up to maybe even $100 a day besides their regular wage for them to live off of. And they'll use that to pay, like, in the wintertime especially, they'll just live in, like, say, the casinos, the hotels, the resorts and that. And in the summertime, a lot of them will have, like, campers, fifth-wheel trailers and that. They'll just live in the campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And, like I say, and just live off their sub-pay and won't hardly even use their paychecks.
Wow.
And they have so much money to throw around that they're willing to throw it around at the young women, that type of thing.
Yeah. Wendy, do you have a question? You're shaking your head.
No,
there.
I don't have a question. No, I'm just listening. I'm really interested in everything that you have to say about this with your, you know, your experience. So.
Yeah. Somebody just posted on Facebook. If you can wreck one of these pipelines with just a little rock, why are we putting these in? Mm-hmm. And that's the million-dollar question. Terry, what's your feeling? And I know I grew up with oil products and everything's plastic now. And what's your feeling about how long are we going to be dealing with oil?
Well, I think of it this way, and this is one reason me and my wife, amongst many other reasons, went to Standing Rock. Because I honestly believe I'm 63 years old. I may not see the end of it, but our kids are going to see the end of the fossil fuel age. There's so much other technology out there, like wind technology, you know, the solar energy, other things out there, that the end of the fossil fuel age is coming. And we know how bad fossil fuel is for the environment, for, you know, everything out there. We know what it does to us. Why are we continuing to do this stuff? We don't need to be just pouring our lives and billions of dollars and everything into it the way we've been doing. It's foolish. It's destroying everything. It's just foolish. And I just feel, especially with the insight I have of the years I worked in the fossil fuel industry and seeing how it destroyed, like I was saying earlier, there's parts of Wyoming and other states in the West that if I took you out there, Robert, and you seen it, you wouldn't believe it unless you actually seen it yourself, that it's devastated them states, absolutely devastated, because of the greed of human beings wanting money over everything else.
Wow.
Nothing will live for hundreds of years in parts of them states. Wow. Nothing.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on at such a short notice. We really appreciate your information here. Wow, Terry, thank you so much. And we'll probably be calling you again because this is so informational. Do you have any last words before we let you go?
No, you're very welcome. But I'm just glad I can help in just a little tiny way.
Mm. Awesome. Well, that was Terry Lamb, Wendy. Well, he lives up in Cloquet now with his wife, and he's knows pipe fitting.
Former pipeliner.
Yeah.
That unbelievable.
That was really great.
Thanks
segment.
Again, Terry.
Yeah, that was great. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, we got our co-host of Rock the Boat, Native Style, on here, Nancy Bolio, Bemidji 350, Arise Collective, and just all-around groovy artist up there in the deep north. Welcome, Nancy. What's going on up there today?
Well, you know, we are getting geared up to go make a stand and do some more praying today down at the work site. Here in Palisade, Minnesota, where the drill pad is going to be drilling underneath the Willow River and the Mississippi River. So we are in solidarity today with some great allies. And, you know, Robert, there's quite a few people here today. They're parked on the road.
Nice.
And, yeah, so we got a nice stand of solidarity today. And so we're not sure what today brings. You know, we always lead with our hearts. And so one minute we could be praying and the next minute we could be resisting. So the goal is not to be arrested today. But again, the last time we came, Robert, remember we were supposed to be on a field trip and we ended up shutting down a line while Winona and Don?
Yeah, exactly. So you never know. Your plans may avert.
Right. So, you know, my sister, Don Goodwin from Miters, you know, she speaks with healing and she walks with a strong heart. And so, you know, sometimes I got to tell her, Don, you know, let me have the keys.
Exactly.
So she already surrendered to them when we pulled up. So I don't know where this is going to go today, but she gave me the keys. And, but anyways, we got our, you know, awesome people at 350 here today, on the Green New Deal.
Wow.
And yeah, we're going to talk about that. And I guess, Ula made some really, nice signs to help, you know, with the messaging. And cause we see, as you know, the Mother Earth is being raped right here as we witness it today. And, that's not what we can be doing anymore, Robert. There's, you know, this is the time. And we ask all of our listeners out there, maybe you haven't, you know, stepped up yet, and maybe you don't know how, but you know, I encourage you to keep following us and, you know, inbox us, you know, and find out ways you can support us. And just sometimes being a fire keeper is all we need, you know, or somebody to cook a meal, or, you know, throw us some money. Cause it takes money to fight big money, but we stand on the good side, Robert.
Awesome.
And, right. And then tomorrow, another exciting day out here in Palisade, we're going to have some legislators out here. And I know Mary Kunish Podine, newly elected Minnesota State Senate, has been out here before. And she is extending an invite to other fellow senators and House reps and, you know, people that we voted in, because they're good people. And if we keep doing this, Robert, like I said, we're learning how to play their game and we're getting it, and we're playing it better. But it's awesome when we can, you know, show up at the polls and vote for people like Mary, Jen McEwen, and Heather Keeler. And, you know, there's going to be more names out here today. I can't remember, Robert. There's so much stuff in my head right now. But
no, that's cool. We know Heather Keeler's coming up Sunday, too.
Right. So there's a power pack coming tomorrow, Robert. And you know what? Rock the vote Native style. That's why we work hard, is to make sure that our relatives or people like Jen McEwen from CD 7 out of Duluth, she's non-Native, but, you know, she's a water protector and she's going to be here. And, you know, this is why we got to keep showing up at the polls, Robert. Or, you know, maybe somebody should run for office and we could help them, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a good thing. Right.
Exactly.
So, tomorrow they're going to tell the story. They're going to be out here, and I think you're going to be out here hanging out with us too, Robert. Right?
Yeah, I'm bringing a whole crew up there with video cameras, and Oglema will be up there. I have some people from AM 950 coming up and documenting this. And my understanding is we're going to go on a tour, but you know, that's what we're going to do. Last time we were up there, and we ended up, like you said, shutting down the tree chopper downer thing.
Right, and you know, and that the lodge too, the prayer lodge is going to be where you guys will be visiting tomorrow, and we'll be holding the welcome space down. And I think it's going to be a beautiful day, and I think we just need to, you know, keep showing up and telling our story and reminding Walsh that this is not how you have a government to government relationship. This is not how you respect your Minnesotans, by giving foreign corporation more rights than your own citizens. So, you know, he's coming up for re-election too. So we got to start thinking about who's our next governor going to be.
Right.
And we want to make sure it's somebody like Mary Kunish Podine or Jen McEwen.
Aaron Murphy.
Right. Oh yeah. She's going to be here tomorrow, I heard.
Oh, wow. So, that's very cool.
Yeah. And so we could just cross our fingers and hope everything turns out and everyone could show up, because we know it's also COVID and sometimes people get last minute quarantines and, or just issues happen now. But I you know, just having Mary and you and Jen, and I think that's good enough for me, Robert. But,
awesome.
You know, if Heather can make it, I'd be even more excited. So I think it's going to be a good day tomorrow. And I know there's stuff happening on Monday, but, you know, I'm not in a position where I want to talk about that out loud and clear right now, Robert. So,
right.
Yeah.
And
so,
Winona earlier in the show talked about it. But, yeah, keep watching Facebook and updates and live videos from Rise Coalition and all those great sites out there that are sending us a daily information. I know.
And
you,
what I do know, Robert.
Go ahead.
I got some more good news before I forget. You know how I am. But Red Lake is building up their resistance now too. So I was in discussion day before yesterday. So Red Lake is funding that, the tribal council, and actually gave, you know, some space for, you know, a campsite to take place. So Red Lake is gearing up forces, and that makes me feel so good because those guys are in powerhouse, you know.
Yeah, that makes me really feel good because that's breaking news. That's awesome.
Yes, yes. So it's things are happening now, Robert. And then after we leave here this weekend, we're going to start planning for, you know, the White Earth and the Bagley area. So, you know, all those listeners out there, there's all kinds of territory out here that we have to cover. This is unlike Standing Rock. There's not one central spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to need people in different locations and a lot of people on those drums and fires. And, yeah, let's keep each other in a good way and fight this pipeline.
Oh, so thank you so much for stopping in. I know it's a struggle because of all the things that you're doing up there right now, and you're right in the middle of some stuff. So I really, really appreciate you stopping in and giving us this fresh, fresh update of what's happening.
All right. Well, Miigwech, for having me today, Robert, and for all our listeners out there, you know, make sure you pray for us today. Pray for the needy, and find a good way to be a good help to your community and to Mother Earth.
Wow, Pini Gigi, perfect. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. This show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives. What we do to everything we do to ourselves, all is one black elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many, many years. and she's a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States. And she works on animal issues at the state level. And she has this very popular segment talking about our sacred animals. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Yep. My name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Degahia Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were on the Friday show. We were in for Brett, right, on his show. And I was talking about how sometimes it's hard to decide on what I'm going to be talking about. And it really depends on, like, what kind of mood I'm in.
Mm.
So sometimes I need to talk about, you know, happier, uplifting things,
mm-hmm.
while the doom and gloom things are important. And I like to bring awareness about that. Sometimes, you know, my soul just can't take that. So today I'm going to be talking about something pretty fun and interesting.
I'll be the judge of that.
you don't even know what I'm going to be talking about.
Right.
That's how funny it is. So Robert doesn't even ask me what I'm going to be talking about, but we just kind of do it. So I have an article here. It's from EcoWatch, Environmental News for Health, Healthier Planet and Life. And it's a study showing that birds are linked to happiness levels.
Wow.
Yeah. And this article was written by Carly Name, and it was dated December 8th, 2020. A new study reveals that greater bird biodiversity brings greater joy to people, according to a recent findings from the German Center for Integrative Biodiversity Research. In fact, scientists conclude that conservation is just as important for human well-being as financial security. The study published in Ecological Economics focused on European residents and determined that happiness correlates with a specific number of bird species.
Hmm.
Quote, according to our findings, the happiest Europeans are those who can experience numerous different bird species in their daily life or who live in near natural surroundings that are home to many species, says the leader author Joel Methorst, a doctoral researcher at the Schickenberg Biodiversity and Climate Research Center in Frankfurt. The authors calculated that being around 14 additional bird species provided as much satisfaction as earning an additional $150 a month.
Wow.
For the study, researchers used data from the 2012 European Quality of Life Survey to explore the connection between species diversity around homes, towns, and cities, and how it relates to satisfaction. More than 26,000 adults from 26 European countries were surveyed. So that's a really large study. According to the study authors, birds are some of the best indicators of biological diversity in any given area because they are usually seen or heard in their environments, especially in urban areas.
Mm-hmm.
However, more bird species are found near natural green spaces, forested areas, and bodies of water.
Or where we put out bird seed.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that in a minute. In the U.S., birding has become more common and accessible hobby during the pandemic. Although not new, thousands of amateurs and expert birders participate in the Audubon's long-running annual Christmas Bird Count, a three-week activity to count birds in a specific area for the group's data compilation.
Compilation.
Yep. Quote, nature conservation, therefore, not only ensures our material basis of life, but it also constitutes an investment in well-being of us all, says Methorst. And this Christmas bird count is a thing.
Wow.
I looked it up, and the Audubon Association has a Christmas bird count, and it's the 121st.
Is that the Audubon Society you're talking about? Wow.
So this has been going on for over 100 years.
Wow.
The Christmas bird count will be conducted between the dates of Monday, December 14th, 2020, through Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. And it happens every year, and it's over 100 years old. And what you can do is you could sign up. What you would do is you have to sign up, and there's a 15-mile circle radius that you could spend time in. Mm. And what you do is you count the amount of birds that you see and hear. And it could be the same species if you see, So then you mark it down, and then you put your data in,
there's an app now, right?
I'm sure that there is. And it's really pretty wild that even here in Minnesota, in the Twin Cities, there's lots of those circled 15-mile radiuses that you can go, and then you put your data in, and then they compilate
Has something like that going on.
Really,
my sister Mary, who's a really big bird watcher.
Yeah. Well, we all know that, you know, being outside and being in nature is good for your mental health and makes you feel better. And you were saying earlier, Robert, that we have a bird bath right outside the window of this studio where we're talking right now.
I love it.
And we leave the window open, and today you saw a beautiful red cardinal in that. And you were
a squirrel.
And a squirrel jumped up and drank the water. Yeah.
And some sparrows, and we've seen blue jays.
Yep.
And the black crows and
absolutely. And we put bird seed out in our backyard, so we always see lots and lots of birds and ducks. The ducks from St. Kate's University over there fly over every day between 4:30 and 5 and eat the corn that we put out. But what I want to do is I want to look for a heated bird bath so that it doesn't freeze in the winter, and that animals have a water source during the winter.
So they can't
winter.
Go to the river. They have to go to the bougie.
Heated.
Wow. These birds live better and eat better than me.
I'm sure that they sell them, and they're probably not very expensive. So, but that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, this study, and I, you know, I believe that, all the data is accurate, and that seeing more birds in your daytime and even seeing more species of birds can make you happier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's a finch, there's a cardinal, there's a sparrow, there's a...
Yeah.
What other kind of birds do you... I don't even know really very many birds.
You know, it's interesting, too. We get that... It used to be called country mix. And we have...
The seeds. Yeah. It has sunflower seeds.
But it has those little teeny bird seeds. And mm-hmm. I've seen birds that I've never seen before. Like, they look like sparrows, but they have different mm-hmm. coloring. I've seen yellow birds.
I've never
seen those before, mm-hmm. in at least in the... urban area.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I really do enjoy, I do a lot of recording in the morning and, for the various shows and things. And I like to have the window open because, well, I have ADHD, but I also like looking at all the birds that come to the bird bath. And I know that bird bath specifically, we didn't use as much as we have since we moved to the studio, if you ask me, over a year ago. And now I'm really, oh, the water's low. I know that. And
well, because we have an eye on it now and we have a direct view to it. I think before it was kind of off to the side and we kind of forgot about it. And we'd be like dumping it out during the summer thinking, oh, mosquitoes are putting their larvae down and there's going to be mosquitoes. But
that's a good story.
I think having something uplifting to talk about today was important for me anyway.
With all that's going on, especially with line three. And
it is good to get out there. It's still cold, but bundle up and take a walk and be out nature. That's what we're doing every day
with the little dogs.
We get their coats on it and they
have nice little parkas. It's bougie parkas for the bougie dogs. They got but nicer newer jackets than I do.
Well, their jackets are definitely newer than mine, that's for sure.
That's right. Hey, Pini Gigi, for all you do and bringing a light where there's a lot of dark places with our sacred animals. Mm-hmm. They are beings and they're people just like us, and I mean that seriously. Pini Gigi Wendy.
Thank you, Robert.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and each week we try to reach out to Red Dawn Foster in South Dakota and to see what's going on, but also to support our sister out there in the deep, deep north. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hello, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, I would really love to hear what's going on and some updates. And I know we talked a little bit before we came on here and some interesting things happening at the Capitol. And I would just love you just to flow and I'll ask some questions.
Yeah, great. So we started off this past week with Tuesday was the governor's budget address, where she went and detailed what she plans on doing these next 2 years. And so it'll be, you know, now up to legislators to make sure that it's in the best interest of the people. So I was there. One concerning thing is that was on Tuesday we met and we had a dinner Monday night. Wednesday it was announced that several legislators that were in attendance were tested positive for coronavirus. So, yeah, and as you know, South Dakota does not have a mask mandate. So, you know, we're just kind of waiting. I'm actually quarantining in a tent to keep everybody in my community safe because as a legislator and a part of the Democratic leadership team, I'm mandated to be there. Mm-hmm. So, I was masked up and I was there, but it really takes all of us being masked to limit the risk. So we're just kind of in a waiting game right now, but that's where we're at.
Oh, geez. And so, I mean, how do you stay emotionally, spiritually, physically healthy during these times, Red Dawn?
Well, I think you said it right there, is staying spiritually and emotionally grounded is the key. Just working as much as we can, making sure our community is safe, getting the message out that it really takes this community cooperation to wear masks to limit the risk. If one person's wearing it, you're still at risk when you're in a room and you're poor ventilation and others are not wearing it. So, you know, they say that key is social distance, wear masks, And I'm taking elderberry. So, yeah. You know, I've read that that's early on if you've been exposed to take that. So continue to do that. And then also, again, just service to your community. We started working really hard on legislation that we're going to be presenting this next session, two of which are to protect our water in different forms. And so as you see, the water has now, and you know, we stated this at Standing Rock, that water is going to be the most valuable asset that we as humans have, more important than oil, more important than gold, everything. And now that it is on the stock, going to be exchanged on the stock market, is pretty concerning. It essentially turns stakeholders into stockholders, and those who were, you know, corporations that really benefited and had water for just subsidized, highly subsidized for mining projects and everything else, can now make, you know, millions of dollars off of this shortage and scarcity of water. So it's pretty concerning. I'm going to have to look into that and see what legislation we can bring here locally to not only hopefully protect the community, but also bring awareness.
Right. And I mean, water being a commodity, but also water we all need. So these big companies like Nestle and things like that just sucking up our resources and not paying the full amount as it is right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been highly subsidized. What's made companies to be able to do business that wasn't sustainable or regenerative, very profitable. And so I think that, again, the more people get involved and engaged and put pressure on their elected leaders to say, this is our, we have a human right to access to water. And especially as Indigenous people, that, you know, certain farming practices are definitely not regenerative or sustainable. And looking at these industries that have really taken our water sources for granted. And so as Indigenous people, we do have the ultimate right to access to the water in our homeland. So I think that that will become more apparent as time goes on as well. And so it'll be interesting, and I'm definitely researching it.
Yeah, we get a lot of people in the Dakotas listening to the show on Facebook and Facebook Live. I know here in Minnesota, calling or emailing your representatives really helps. What's your feeling about that in South Dakota?
Oh, I absolutely agree. There's times that the community reaching out and bringing information to us, that's very vital and important. One, and then two, once legislation comes, to be active, to not just call your native legislators or your legislators that support what you're trying to pass, but others, to let them know that you guys are voting, that you're concerned, that because a lot of times when the community is not involved, engaged, informed, legislators can pass legislation without any repercussions, without even any pushback or involvement from the community. And so the best way to have good legislation and policy is for the community to be informed, engaged, and participate. So it's, I agree. That's the best thing to do at all levels.
Well, I appreciate your updates, and I want to give you the opportunity here in this last minute to speak your truth before we let you go. Again, I really appreciate you coming on to Native Roots Radio and speaking your truth.
Well, I just want to say I stand with my relatives that are standing up against Line 3. My prayers are with you. I would physically be there if I was not concerned about, you know, if I wasn't in quarantine, I would physically be there, but my thoughts, prayers, my heart is with you.
Wow, perfect. Pini Gigi, for being on and all the work you do for our relatives and your state. Thank you so much for being on Red Dawn.
Thank you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I am always happy to have my Dega, my Choka, the Choka of our family, on each week, and we talk about events and we kind of lighten things up because sometimes our show is really things are going on that may be a little dark, and we want to lighten things up. So Uncle Curtis, welcome, and introduce yourself and give a shout out to Kim. I beat you.
Hey, I want to say Pinagigi. I want to wish off, first off, before I say my name, I want to wish everybody happy holidays, and I want to say it like that first off. And my name is Moshe Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. I represent the Eagle Clan. My name is Moshe Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized taxpayer name is Curtis West. And I always want to say thank you to my Chushke for what he does here on this show. You know, it's Native Roots Radio. And I want to say Pinagigi for all he does. And there's a lot of people tell me to tell him that. And so I'm going to. And I want to say hi to my beautiful wife, Kim, baby girl. I call her. And I got to give a shout out. And Chushke said I could do it. She's enjoying her new job over at Results Title in Wayzata. So you need any help with your titles or anything like that, go and talk to her, and she's going to give me a little money for giving a shout out for her. But I want to say ho-ho to all my family, relatives, and friends in Four Directions. Me and Chushke and Wendy, and we all pray that all is well to you.
Yes.
And we want to say that much, and we want to say mask up, you know, social distance, so wash your hands, and be safe, and we're going to knock this stuff down if we all agree with that. And my Chushke here, my Wakunjahare, he lets me do some things, birthdays, express myself with birthdays and events, and he helped me out with the events, stuff like that, important events. That
yes.
Not too many going around, but then shout out. So I want to start off with some birthdays, and I want to give a real, I sang him a birthday song this morning, a Wangshik way, Indian way. I sang him a birthday song this morning to my son, Dallas West.
Yes.
And, so I sang him a song, and he really liked that for me. And I want to say happy birthday to Kunu. He's listening in right now. And the other one we're going to shout out to, another birthday wish down there, is all the way down there. I had almost sent smoke signals down there to Tennessee.
Whoa.
To Hope Whitworth down there. And that's my little Chujunk down there, man, in Tennessee. And over there, we're going to scream at her, and she's listening today too, is, we call her Little Ginny, but her name is Chrissy Gettler, you know, so we're going to say happy birthday to her today, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's one of our relatives, me and Chujunk's, another Chujunk of me and Chushke over there. She's listening in today. Her name is Michelle Moyer.
Yeah.
We're going to say happy birthday to Michelle today, right?
Yes.
And there's another one, we call her Nunu, our sister over there in Minneapolis. And she's been on Chushke's show. We want to make sure we had to let her know, and she's listening to her name. Her name is Guadalupe Lopez.
Hey.
We want to say happy birthday to her. And there's this one that I had the honor that I knew her brothers and her husband and her daughter graduated with the same one with my Chujunk, Samantha over there from Indian Education, and she mm-hmm. got a feather. But her mom, I'm gonna say happy birthday to that's her real name is Cricket.
Yeah,
Cricket James. So we're gonna say happy birthday to them, and then like we always say over here, you know, elders are very important to us, and look out for them. They need some medicine. They need some food, water, anything. Look out after the elders during this pandemic, but look after your elders, please. But well, I want to give a shout out to these elders that are real important to us. And, you know, like I say, they are very important to us by ways of knowledge. They're our libraries of our culture. And our knowledge and anything they want to tell you, any lessons they want to teach you.
And
our language, yeah. Listen to us. And they say that. So, but, excuse me. I want to say happy birthday to Ruth Yellow Thunder.
Hey.
And there's a, yeah, there's one that I want to really say a real happy birthday to. He's listening to us from Colorado. Well, we call him the legend. Yeah, his name is Byron Steele. That guy could shoot the eyes out of a tornado in basketball. And so we want to say happy birthday to the legend, Byron. And the other ones we want to talk to about and wish him happy birthday is Lorenzo Funmaker, James Day, Anthony Green. And like I said, them elders, you know, there's a lot of legends in our elders. So look out after them, please. And my Trishke here, let's do some shout-outs and some events. We're going to work on events. But I want to give a shout-out to Augie from the Red Lake Nation, the on-the-spot reporter. And he's down there in Arizona right now. And he wanted me to give a special shout-out to Trishke Wakunjahare. So hey. I'm going to say that much. So he just said, hey, he said, say hello to Robert. I said, oh. And then. And then I wanna give a shout out again as usual. I gotta do this on a regular, and I wanna give a shout out to American Indian Movement, you know, and Clyde, Frank, and Lisa, and all the members out there. You know, I wanna say ho to them guys, you know, and the other ones I wanna give a shout out to again is to the Ho Chunk Nation, you know, and all they do for us, you know, and our people here, and. Another one I'll shout out, it's an event, but it's a shout out too. I want to say that Robert Pilot for D4 legislator seat one. You know, get that paper signed up, and we're going to be out there.
That's right.
So don't be scared to answer the door for your signature, because we're gonna be poking our beak around that way. But it's coming up, and there's three seats open. But we're I am shooting for Robert Pilot for D4 seat one. So I don't want to say that much. And and the events that are coming up too is I'm gonna let Robert say something right now what he has, and I only have a couple, so that's... I'm gonna have my Trishke take over right now. Okay?
Hey, yeah, we're running really short on time here. I want to give a quick shout out though to my Dega Carson for sending me this beautiful plume. It's so beautiful, and when we powwow up again, I'll be able to dance with that beautiful plume that he sent me. And Pini Gigi, hey, I just want to give a quick shout out. There's not an action, but there's legislators that we said earlier in the show that are going to be up in Winona's camp on Sunday. And so we're going to be going on a tour with all the dirty pipelines and the diggings, the sacred area, and going over the river. So there's a lot of legislators that are going up there that support No Line 3 and want to take a tour. And then the symposium, we're going to have a lot of this Sunday, the symposium, we're going to have reporters from all over Turtle Island asking and finding out what's going on with Line 3, and then hopefully they can bring it back to their news source and send it out all over Turtle Island with this. As you've heard the rest earlier part of the show, we're really discussing what's happening. And then, of course, we're going to be going starting January Monday through Friday, 6 to 7, and we're going to be all over Turtle Island, but those are going to be our new hours. I'm going to be... we're going to be going 5 days a week. So we're really excited about that. And Uncle Curtis, back to you.
Hey, well, we got a couple things coming up on December 17th is an area meeting up here for D4. It's going to be virtual again. And the other thing we wanted to say, there's that CARES Act money coming out to Ho-Chunk area members. It'll be in your direct deposit on the 20th. Of December, and Ho-Chunk applications are still going now for the money's coming in on January. So get your application. If you didn't do it now, and don't complain. And the other thing I wanted to say before I end up I got some wisdom, but there's a rally at the Capitol tomorrow for farmers in exactly. What it is how the farmers are being not taken care of by this pandemic, and their monies are getting funny. So It starts at 1 o'clock at the Minnesota State Capitol. So anybody that's down there, in support of the farmers, please show up.
All right. Hey, how about a native wisdom?
Yeah, I got one here, Chuska, and it really hit the spot today to me. He says to me, he says, we are all equal in this great circle of life. No one is in front of me. No one is behind me. No one is above me, and no one is below me. We are all related.
Ahoo, Pini Gigi.
Ahoo.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenicoops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.